and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are they not all these who speak Galilean? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and the Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and the proselyte, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not the drunk as you suppose, since this is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. You sons and daughters shall prophesy, and you young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my manservant and on my maidservant I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Next, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 15 and then to verse 39 and 40. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. "Pursue love and desire spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mystery. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesies, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a noise, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is pipe or play? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will pursue or who will prepare for battle? So likewise, unless you utter by the tongues words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gift, let it be for the edification of the church that you may seek to excel. Therefore, let them who speak in the tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in the tongue, my spirit pray, but my understanding is unfruitful. And having said so many things, apostle come to the conclusion. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And then right, skip and go to verse 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and also do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. All right, this ends the reading. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I know, Lord, this morning that you're going to speak, Lord, a rhema word into the lives of your people. And that you are going, Lord, to stir up something that has been deposited within them that perhaps they have neglected or they have not used it as often as it ought to. And so in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and stir up Lord, what has been deposited, and that they will use it, Lord, because it is a powerful weapon you have given us, and we are not to just put it aside, but we are to use it regularly. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come and reignite this church and set it ablaze for your glory. And I pray, Father, that the people will have a listening ears. You remove every confusion and controversy, and that we may come together in agreement, Lord, on this controversial subject of speaking in other tongues. So we commit this morning session to you. Holy Spirit, come to illuminate our spirit and eyes that we may understand and see things in the spiritual realm. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, in today's sermon, I'm going to revisit this topic called praying in other tongues. Now, the question that you may want to ask is why revisit this subject. This is because I received a prompting from the Lord last year, December 2017. Now, as I said before, last year was a very difficult year for our church spiritually, as a church and also for many individuals. Now, when I shared this with the guest speaker last year, one particular pastor told me that many churches and believers were also experiencing a very difficult year. And he said that there were more spiritual attacks and oppression coming from the evil spirit because of the battle over the same-sex marriage agenda. Now, just to give you an example, a church within 10 minutes from our premise actually experienced a serious church split because of the issue of same-sex marriage agenda. That is a classic example how fierce the battle can be. And so it can take in different form and different shape from different churches. Now for me, late last year, it came to the point where I felt a strong opposition or oppression from the enemy. Now it was as though the evil spirit is trying to snuff out this remaining spiritual fire that is in me. And so one night I felt the strong spirit of discouragement coming against me. And so to push back this spirit of discouragement from this evil spirit, I decided to wage a spiritual battle against this evil spirit. And so I went into praying in other tongues for continuously for about 35 minutes. And the first 10 minutes, when I prayed in other tongues, it was very difficult. It was very hard going. And I simply do not feel like praying in other tongues at all, because my flesh is telling me to stop praying. And so I persevere, and I broke through the 10 minutes mark. And then the next 10 minutes was not as bad, but I still faced some resistance. And so I continued to persevere, and then I broke through the 20 minutes mark. And after the 20 minutes mark, I suddenly sense a breakthrough. The resistance was removed, and I sense a total change of spiritual atmosphere that is surrounding me. And the sense of discouragement and the despair were broken in Jesus' name. And the spirit of faith and courage rose within me, inside me, and I felt my spirit man rejuvenated. And I can see spiritually breakthrough in our churches and in the churches that are strong in the spirit, praying in tongues. And the people are coming and they're receiving breakthrough in their life. And I see some healing, miracles, signs and wonders taking place. And there was a sense of jubilation in the church. And when I finished praying for about 35 minutes, I felt the prompting from the Lord to do two things for the year 2018. And before doing these two things, I have to revisit the subject of praying in other tongues. This is so as to encourage the congregation member to pray in the spirit individually and corporately more regularly. And so this is the reason why I am preaching and teaching on this subject today. And the first thing that I need to do is when we resume our Wednesday corporate meeting from 14th of March next month, we will make some changes to the format of the prayer meeting. We'll spend the time wholly praying in other tongues after a short time of worship for the whole month of March. And then for subsequent months after March, we will allocate the first Wednesday of every month to also wholly pray in other tongues during our corporate prayer meeting. Now, other Wednesday corporate prayer meeting will be as per the old format. And so we are going to wage a spiritual warfare against the enemy of our soul to take back what the enemy has stolen in our life and in our church. And it's important that I have to revisit this subject, because this is a very controversial subject, and I want to teach and to clear some of this controversy. And this is so that we can all be on the same page, and that we are in agreement when we come together to pray in other tongues in our corporate prayer meeting. Amos 3, verse 3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" That is why it's important that we come to the same page. And the second thing that we need to do is to declare a week of prayer and fasting for the week from 19th to the 25th of March. Now, please do not feel overwhelmed by this prayer and fasting week. Don't say that, "Oh, I'm going to miss my good food for 1 week." Now, it will be a voluntary thing, though we urge and we encourage you to do so, because the form and the shape of the prayer and fasting is going to be flexible, so that you can do what you can handle individually. Now, a separate sermon will be preached about this subject of prayer and fasting 2 weeks before we begin our prayer and fasting for the church. Now, prayer is a powerful thing, but prayer and fasting is even going to be far more powerful. And so for today, let me focus on the subject of praying in other tongues. Now, first, let me give you a quick overview of the timeline that we Christians are living in today. From the time of Adam, the father of humanity, to Abraham, the father of faith, is the first era of God the Father. And then next, from the time of Isaac, Abraham's promised son, to Jesus, God's only begotten son, is the era of the Son. And thereafter, the cross, from the day of Pentecost in AD 30, Acts chapter 2 that we read, to the end of this present world, is and will be the last and the final era of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, a mighty rushing wind, a heavenly rushing wind, the fire of the Holy Spirit descended on the 120 people who were gathered together with one accord, praising and singing unto the Lord. And suddenly the tongue of fire descended upon these 120 people, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, meaning in other languages. And the first church then became a very powerful church. They preached with boldness and courage. Signs and wonders, miracles and healings were a common phenomenon. And therefore, Holy Spirit baptism and the speaking in other tongues is an important truth and the dynamics of the era of the Holy Spirit. However, after the passing of the last Apostle John, sometime in the AD 90s, things begin to slowly fade away. Holy Spirit baptisms and the gift of the Holy Spirit seems to taper off progressively. And so from the year 500 AD onwards, the church then went into a dark age of 1,000 years. The doctrines and the teachings of the Bible were diluted and dissipated and then finally corrupted. And as the century rolled on, some of the God's remnant hunger for a restoration and rebirth of the power and the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, which was present in the early day church. And so from the 1570 onwards, God began to restore the core doctrines and the teachings in the Bible, beginning with the Lutheran Reformation. And fast forward another 500 years, in 1906, the tongues of fire began to fall upon the church again, and God reignited the Azusa Street Revival and restored the Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it is the birth of the Pentecostal denomination. And then later the churches went into complacency, and then speaking in other tongues again began to slowly go, went into dormancy until the charismatic revival in the 1970. And I was one of the beneficiaries during the 1970 charismatic revival. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it was almost 50 years ago. And when you look at it, Jubilee and restoration of this baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is about to come. Now, with every restoration of truth, you can bet and you will find that the devil will not stick around and do nothing. He will try very hard to oppose and to steal the truth. And the devil will try to stop and deter you from accepting and applying the truth and bring about confusion and doubts on this subject. And because of this, there is much controversy regarding praying in other tongues. And so, for example, the devil will counterfeit it through occultic rhyme, and then spread the malicious words like speaking in tongues is of the devil. I had personally received this malicious attack during my student days when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If he is not successful, he will promote confusion by saying that once you are born again, it means that you have the Holy Spirit. There is no need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no sign required for Holy Spirit baptism. And the sign being, they're speaking in other tongues. And they say, water baptism will suffice, as there's no need for a separate Holy Spirit baptism. Now, all Christian practices and beliefs must be scrutinized under the microscope of the Bible. And some of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you may not know the scripture basis for this experience. And when you are ignorant, you are susceptible to confusion and doubt caused by the devil and even Christians from other denominations. And to doubt and confusion, the devil attempts to steal this truth from you. And if the devil fails to deter you from that truth, he will try another tactic. He goes into the extreme. So, for example, he will deceive and promote the teaching that says that if you not speak in other tongues, then you are not saved. Or he will cause the carnal use of the tongue in a totally wild and uncontrolled manner and brings his application to disrepute. And it happened in the Corinthian church. And Paul had to teach and to bring the practice of these operations back into order. And so let me clarify. There are three distinct experiences. Let me show you this chart. The first experience is when you are born again. So the day when you personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God comes into your life. You are born again with a new spiritual life. That means you have the Holy Spirit. But then you receive the impartation of eternal life. And this is a salvation experience. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit. You receive in this experience impartation of eternal life. And then subsequent to that, the second experience will be water baptism. And when you go through water baptism, your old sinful nature is buried with Christ. You rise up to walk in the newness of resurrection life inside you. That is taken from Romans 6. And then spiritually, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And what you ask, what do you mean by that? Can you illustrate? This is illustrated in the Exodus story. The Israelites leave Pharaoh, leave Egypt, leave Pharaoh's territory by crossing the Red Sea. That means you are leaving, you know, Satan's territory spiritually. You are walking towards the kingdom. Into the kingdom of light, kingdom of God. That is why the Old Testament story is an illustration of our spiritual experiences. That's why crossing the Red Sea is your water baptism experience. And so when we come to the third one, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now it is a third and a distinct experience. Now, why is there a scripture that talks about there more than one baptism? Yes, I just give you one. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 3 talks about the sixth foundational truth. The third foundational truth, you read carefully, is the doctrine of baptisms with the letter S. That means plural. There is more than one baptism. One is water baptism, the other one is Holy Spirit baptism. And then you read other verses. I have no time to go through, but there are two baptism, at least. The baptism, the Holy Spirit comes with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, what is the purpose? You already have the Holy Spirit. The first one, born again, was impartation of life, eternal life. The second one was impartation of power. You are given a new weapon to deal with the enemy. A new weapon to pray. And so that is the difference between the three. And with this clarity, clarification, you know, don't let other people bring any confusion. These will be very clear to you. So the next question is, speaking in tongues, after you receive the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, is it still valid today? Do you continue? Can you continue to speak? Now, many conservative denominations say no. Say that speaking in tongues is no longer valid today. And the reason that they gave is from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8 to verse 10. They say, love never fails, but wherever there are prophecy, they will fail. Meaning cease, alright? Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, he says, perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Will be done away. And so they interpret perfection as the completion of the Holy Scripture, the Old and the New Testament. Now this is the wrong interpretation. Because perfection has not come. Let's face it, let's be honest, perfection has not come. We cannot interpret perfection as, you know, the completion of the Old and the New Testament. There are still many prophecies in the Bible that have not been fulfilled. Many in the book of Revelation. And though knowledge has increased significantly since the days of Jesus' first coming, knowledge is not complete yet. We still do not know a lot of things. Perfection of knowledge and prophecy only comes after Jesus returns the second time. And He will give us all the answer. And when Jesus has not returned, perfection has not come yet. And therefore, we are still living in the era of imperfection. And therefore, tongues are still valid today. Very, very logical argument. It's not an overstretched argument. Now the second thing is, people say that speaking in tongues, in other tongues, is not valid because the occult also practice speaking in other tongues during their trances. Now the devil is the master of counterfeit. He will bring in the counterfeit to deter us from practicing something very powerful. The existence of the occultic counterfeit does not invalidate the truth. If we do that, then many things in the false religion and occult would invalidate the truth that the Christian believe in and practice. So, for example, in the occult, they pray. Does it mean that we don't pray? Now, in the occultic realm, they perform miracles and healing. Does it mean that we will not perform, you know, miracles and healing? And so in Exodus chapter 7, God instructed Moses to throw the rod down, and then it became a snake. And then for Pharaoh also instructed his magician to throw the rods down, and it also became a snake, a counterfeit. However, Moses and Aaron's rod later add up the rods of the magician. That shows that our God is more powerful. And therefore, the basis of practicing any, the practice of our faith is whether it is from the Bible. Speaking in tongues is biblical and scriptural. It happened during the day of Pentecost. For the first Jewish church, The passage that we read, Acts chapter 2, later it also happened in the non-Jewish household gathering in Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Otherwise, you cannot tell whether someone is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Your guess is as good as mine. And that's why God gave us the initial evidence. And then the next thing is New Testament. Apostle Paul, who wrote one quarter of the New Testament, he told the church at Corinth that he spoke with tongues more than all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. In other words, he prayed in other tongues more, very, very often. And therefore, continuing to speak in other tongues is still valid today. And so, with that question being settled, the next question is, what do we do after being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now, the focus is not on the initial act, because it's not the completion, but the beginning of something good. And it is very interesting that speaking in other tongues in Acts, the book of Acts is described as the tongue of fire. And in the Old Testament, after the completion of the tabernacle or the temple, during the dedication or the inaugural service, God supernaturally lit the altar with a supernatural fire. Bang! It lights up the altar of fire. And after that, it is the responsibility of the priest to maintain the fire, to keep the fire burning and going. And we are the New Testament church, priests. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, after we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are to maintain the fire that is inside us by speaking in other tongues regularly. Now, the initial speaking of other tongues, as I say, is not the end itself. It is the means to something good. We are to build on what we have been given. And the next thing is, there's one Holy Spirit baptism, but many re- or infilling. Now, for example, water is one of the symbols to denote the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 7, verse 38, he says that there is the Holy Spirit in us is like the rivers of living water. Where does the river get this fresh supply and replenishment of water from? Rainfall. And similarly, you have a spiritual tank, you have a spiritual fuel in your spiritual tank that energizes you spiritually. But your spiritual petrol will slowly deplete over time through usage, through whatever things that you are going through. So how do you get this fuel again? Well, one of the ways is by praying in tongues, other tongues. Because speaking in other tongues will replenish the supply and the measures of the Holy Spirit. It's not that you do not have the Holy Spirit, the measure of the Holy Spirit, it will replenish that. And at the same time, we must not ignore character development, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Christ, because we need both character and power for Christian service. So next question is, what is speaking in other tongues? Now, it is a language that is resident in you after you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. It is a new spiritual language that you learn supernaturally and almost instantaneously. And so when you pray in tongues, it is your spirit speaking to God. And the second thing, speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. And in different parts of the scripture, it says pray in the Spirit. What on earth praying in the Spirit is all about? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 14, it says speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. And it bypasses the normal faculty of the intellect. Rather than using your mind or your mind to think about a sentence, a structure, the vocabulary, the words to use, it is now my spirit that is praying. And there are many situations where we pray often. At the end, we find ourselves simply, don't know what and how to pray intellectually anymore about the situation. But I can pray in the prayer language that bypasses my intellectual understanding. And so, that is why it's given to you. Now, third thing is, it is speaking in a language that you do not understand. Exactly, this is what the scriptures say. And it is for this reason. If you have understanding, then you are constrained by your human intellect, and you do not understand, it is a mystery. That is why 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, it is a mystery. So nothing, you know, to fast over it. Fourth thing, the language can be an earthly or a heavenly language. How do I know? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul says, if I speak with the tongue of man or of angels. So, it can be a language that other people understand. You may be speaking German, though you have not learned German, but not that you are very fluent in German. You know, you just have a few words on German. Or you can be speaking an angelic language that no one on earth can understand. And so, fifth thing is, you speak by faith as and when you choose to. Because after you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you get the initial evidence of the other tongues. You get a hang of what the language is. And therefore, you can later on, you know, speak by faith. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit or God to initiate again. As and when you want to speak, you just speak it in faith and by faith. Like that. By faith you speak. And therefore, however, after the initial Holy Spirit baptism, many neglect this use, the use of this grace in speaking in other tongues, though it is a powerful gift that many people do not realize. And so many people have this tendency to neglect this practice of tongues thereafter. And this is because they have some mental hang-up. We do have some mental hang-up. And so I'm going to go through briefly some of the mental hang-up and some of the measures that you can take to overcome so that all these things can be cast aside. First thing is unbelief. When you first receive the Holy Spirit with the speaking of other tongues, you ask, did I make it up? Is it for real? Is it from the Lord? Now you need to renounce this thought. Because when you ask God for the Holy Spirit, Spirit baptism with tongue, you need to believe after you have received it. And you don't doubt. Because Luke chapter 11 verse 11 says, when you ask God for a bread, will He give you a stone? Now, when you ask God for an egg, will He give you a scorpion? When you ask God for fish, will He give you a serpent? So the answer is definitely, surely no. And therefore, when you come up, you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in faith. And when you receive it, believe that you have received it. No longer unbelief, based on Luke chapter 11, verse 11. And then, second hang up. You are speaking something that you don't understand. You say it doesn't make human sense. Now, making human sense has got human limitation. And so that's why you need to bypass the human faculty and break through the human limitation in the realm of the Spirit, which is far more powerful. And then the third hang-up is this. This few syllables seems gibberish. It's repetitive and means nothing or little. What is it? You know, this thing come haunting your mind from the evil one. Now just imagine this way. In the English language, there are 26 symbolic letters. I call it code. And these 26 code form words and then can form sentences to convey a message. And in the computer technology, a combination of just two code, binary they call it, 0 and 1, is used to transmit all kinds of messages. That's because there are different combinations of 0 and 1, infinite combination. And it is no different when you speak in other tongues. A combination of a few gibberish syllables can transmit sentences and messages in the spiritual realm. And so, get rid of this mental block. And then, fourth mental block, you don't know whether you are actually praying that area of concern. Now, we can overcome this hang-up by asking God prayer in praying in other tongues. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have some issue with, you know, a person called John. And you want to pray for the person, John, over this particular issue. Perhaps relationship. And so you pray in advance. Lord Jesus, I'm now, lost for words. And I have this issue with this Brother John, in relationship issue. So I want to commit myself for the next few moments, praying in the Spirit regarding this matter. So help me to pray through my other tongues. And then once you ask that, then you begin to pray. Because you have asked in faith, ask God, to help you to pray in this area. And so the next moment when you start, you can believe God that God is helping you to pray on this particular subject matter through other tongues. Because He knows how and what to pray regarding this situation. And so you can overcome this hang up. And then the next question, the purpose of speaking in other tongues. Of course, the first is as a sign that you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, clear-cut sign. No need to say, I think, or you are. Once you have received, you have the sign, means you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you can speak to God in a new spiritual language, whether it's through worship or through your singing or through your prayer. And it's a language beyond your human limitation. And then the next thing is to build up your most holy faith. What's the scripture basis? Jude 20. He said, you, beloved, he says, building yourself up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. This was what happened to me. There was this strong oppression and discouragement coming against me. And I began to pray, in other tongues, continuously for 35 minutes, and begin to build up your most holy faith. I can see breakthrough. I can see all those things that I shared with you moments ago. So it is a faith that can move mountains as you build up that faith. And then the next thing is to build up your spiritual strength and vitality, because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 4 says, he who speaks in other tongues edify himself. But he who prophesies a language that other people know edify the body, the church. I know that a few families are experiencing difficulties, and some for a prolonged period of time. And you have prayed, and now you come to the stage where you're lost for words. And therefore, I encourage you to pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in other tongues, for a prolonged period of time. And then you will experience the breakthrough that I'm talking about. And the church is going through a difficult period. We ought to pray in other tongues. And the fourth thing is to wage spiritual warfare against the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That means ask us to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, there are seven weapons. Five of them are defensive, and two of them are offensive. One of them is the Word of God. The other one is prayer. And it says, pray in the Spirit. What do you mean, pray in the Spirit? I just say, pray in the Spirit. You mean pray in other tongues. You're praying in the Spirit. You're not praying it through your intellect, through your mind. You are, allowing the Spirit of God to direct your prayer in the spiritual realm. That is what you can use that to wage spiritual warfare against your enemy. Many of the enemy is coming against you and you're doing nothing. You have got the weapon. Use it. Use it. And then the next thing is, it can open the door to one or more gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then as you do so, you are open to other spiritual gifts, which I'll talk about it later on. And then the next thing is, you will receive revelational knowledge. Apostle Paul spoke with other tongues more than all others, he says. And he received tremendous revelation of the Scripture. Tremendous revelation, because he's not talking about theory. He's not a head knowledge, but some of the so-called head knowledge will turn into a heart knowledge. Now I know what is this all about, because my baptism, the Holy Spirit, was so supernatural. I can remember the taste of the heavenly during that moment. I know what I'm talking about. It is not theory. So speaking in other tongues is a powerful stuff. Just to give you an example, a pastor, a late pastor, by the name of David Carthage, And I went to one of the church camp, and he shared with me that he prayed in other tongues for hours every day. I haven't reached that level yet, but he was sharing with me and how in his prayer life, praying in tongues was, you know, one of the things that he did very often. And when he laid hands on me, and he prayed, and just felt electric power and current flowing through me, I was trembling and shaking. I can sense the sense of power flowing through me. It was such a powerful thing. But of course, you must be very disciplined. And I have not reached that level of discipline yet. But if we can do it together as a church, there will be power that will invade this church. And so now I want to come into the last few segments, or last two segments. There are two categories of speaking in tongues. One is for our personal prayer tongues. As I said, this tongue is the initial evidence or the sign that you have received the Holy Spirit. And this speaking in other tongues need no interpretation, because there was so much controversy about this interpretation. This becomes a personal prayer language, you know, additional language for communicating with God on an ongoing basis. And then you later on, when you as you grow in the Lord, who knows, God will give you a public ministry tongue. This is one of the gifts of the ministering to the church and the body, one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is meant to be interpreted. So let's don't be confused. So both tongues are same in nature, but different in purpose and function. And then you ask, what do you mean? Just like you are speaking English, you can speak, you know, English to someone on a personal level, a small group. But then to speak English, to be a public speaker, you know, in English, is a different thing altogether. And some people just can't, because you're not gifted. You don't have the calling in that area. So speaking in other tongue is the same thing. If something, first level is your personal level, the next level is, you know, God may give you a public ministry tongue as a gift. And so let's put a chart to kind of bring clarity, further clarity on this subject. I show this on the chart. First is the personal prayer tongues. It's the evidence that you have received the Holy Spirit, and then after that, you can exercise that, speaking that language, spiritual language to God. And so all may have the evidence and sign. You say that, why is it some people don't? Because you don't ask for it. That's why you don't have the Holy Spirit baptism. All may have. Everybody can have this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then the evidence will be speaking in tongues. But public ministry tongue, just like public speaking, not all will have this gift of public tongues. And this tongue needs interpretation. And then after you receive the tongue, it is for personal edification. For those things that I listed there, you can do it to edify your spirit man. You know, you can be edified. And when you're down, when you're in distress, when you're disappointed, you know, you can rise up and push back the enemy. You will give the enemy a good fight, because you have an army. You are armed, and he's afraid of you. And they put that on the shelf. And then the public ministry is, you know, for the body, for the church, to edify the church. One is to edify yourself, the other one is to edify the church. Next segment, please. Thank you. And so, as I said, when your personal tongue, you initiate the speaking as and when you choose. You know, you don't have to wait. Whereas the other public ministry tongue, you speak only when you're prompted by the Holy Spirit. What do you mean prompted by the Holy Spirit? You know, when you come to a church, and sometimes God puts certain burden in your heart, and you need to speak. And so when you come together in church, there is time for everyone to, you know, personally, you know, speak that language. And also come the time where there is a window of quietness. And then you felt that burden, but it's not in the known language, it's in the other tongues. Then you can speak it out, alright, when you have either have the interpretation for that tongue, other tongues, or when someone, you know of someone who has, you know, this gift of interpretation, because he or she has done it before. And so you speak only when you are prompted by the Spirit, Not as and when you like. When you feel the urge and you strong urge and the prompting from the Lord and do it in that window. That's why Apostle Paul say, you know, there must be order in the church. Don't just do it anyhow. And then the next thing is, and therefore, as I said, there needs to be interpretation. This one need no interpretation. And that's why Apostle Paul said, forbid not to speak. That means you are able to speak in an unknown tongue. There's no, on a personal level, and don't forbid it. And then the other one, you only speak it when there is interpretation. Alright, the next thing is, you know, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you may kind of be confused. But the conclusion of it is, in the church service, both can be present. That means you are allowed to personally speak as a personal prayer language. And then also at the same time, you also allow a window of quietness for those who want to exercise public ministry tongue to exercise that gift, and that needs to be interpreted. That's why he says that, you know, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's the conclusion from Apostle Paul, verse 15. He says, what is the conclusion then? He says, I will pray with the Spirit. That means you speak in other tongues, and I also pray with understanding. You also speak in a verbal language that is understandable, like in our case it's English. And then you are also allowed to sing in the Spirit. You also sing with understanding. Both can be present. So depending on which one, you know, only on the right-hand side, public ministry tongue, need interpretation. And so I hope, you know, this will clear on the controversy and confusion that some people may have. And then conclusion, personal application. And so, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have not been baptized. And when you come forward at the end of service, those who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can come forward, you can ask Jesus for it. Just like Luke chapter 11, verse 11. You know, it says that if you ask for a bread, God will not give you a stone. You ask for an egg, He will not give you a scorpion. Ask for a fish, He will give you a serpent. And so, ask for a fish, He will not give you a serpent. And so, come and believe. And when you are asked, believe that God will give you something good. And you have the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. But you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But you come when we guide you. Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. You need to cooperate with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? So if you want to speak in other tongues, you cannot tighten, you know, your mouth and say nothing. You must let the Spirit that's within you become that river of living water flow out of your mouth like the water flowing out from a tap. That's what I mean. Like a water flowing through a flapping tongue and a flapping mouth. So you need to open your mouth, you know, after the first few syllables. Just like this. Open your mouth and flap your tongues and your mouth. Then you become a tongue in other tongues. That does give you that idea. Like a water flowing through a flapping tongue and mouth. That is why, you know, the Holy Spirit is described as the rivers of living water. He wants to flow out of you, give you a new prayer language. And then next thing, do not be too self-conscious in the mind. You know, what am I saying? Oh, no, should I stop? Just allow the Holy Spirit, you know, flow through you. That's how you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, how many of you here have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Put up your hand, please. Everyone baptized in the Holy Spirit? Okay, very good. Anyway, I'm not too sure, but show of hands, there's no one. Everyone seems to be, you know, praying in the Holy Spirit. I mean, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And so, if you have, use your other tongues regularly in your personal devotion, in your prayer time. As I said, we do go through, you know, period of oppression coming from the enemy. And how do we deal with it? You know, one of the effective ways, as I said, is praying in other tongues when you are down. Next click, please. When you're down, when you're discouraged. and when you do not know when and how you pray. And I said, Nick, is use your tongue for spiritual warfare. This is one of the weapon, powerful weapon that God has given us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so, I want to encourage the church to exercise this gift, this prayer language, more regularly. Challenge yourself, stretch yourself. You have been doing for 5 minutes, stretch it to 10. You have been doing for 10, stretch it to 15 minutes. That's why Apostle Paul says, I speak in other tongues more than you guys, he says. Why did he write in the Holy Scripture? It's not for fun. It's an example for us. And Apostle Paul is the one who went through the most hardship, I think, in the Bible. And he received the most revelation. He writes, 25%, more than any other New Testament writers. So a very encouraging, a role model for all of us. So can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you.